Welcome to Christ Today. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. We give you praise and worship, and we give you much thanks for all the blessings in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the three persons that are in one God who love us so much. And that mystery of the three persons is one that I certainly have pondered. Many other people have also. It does seem to be a mystery. We get a little more understanding as we think about it, but we don't have full knowledge. But we do get to understand more as we think on things and we learn to accept the things that we do not understand also. It's a little bit that way even when we consider the love of God. We understand the love of God a little bit or a lot, but there is much to accept by faith. And oh, how we have that desire to be loved. Look how popular John 3:16 is. It's popular. It is often said, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should have everlasting life." Isn't that great? "Shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And God tells us these things. And sometimes we can understand it very well, and sometimes we just have to ponder that great love that God has for us. We know love when we have a parent or a spouse or somebody that we love, and it helps us to understand how great love is. But do we have a full understanding? Oh, I don't think so. But we do know how when we love a person, we will want to do something for them, and that can be called a sacrifice. You know, if you want somebody to have something nice, you give them something. What would it be? Well, for a child, it might be an ice cream, or for somebody, a box of candy or chocolate. It might be a piece of jewelry. And so we think of giving that person something. And if we give someone something, then we no longer have it, but the other person does. And you could call that a sacrifice, but it's a little thing. Sometimes we give gifts that are big, sometimes they're small, but it all is a matter of love and what we do. When you think about the concept of family and how your parents loved you as a child, and that is love when you think about the founding fathers and what they have done. You think of that love also when you think of the military soldiers and the lives that they have given, their own life, of either they're in service or as a entire sacrifice. That's love too. It's a lot of love. It's a lot of gratefulness. And how grateful we are for what God has given us. Now, we do sometimes work hard and get rewards for it, and then we give people something or other. Or it might be a child. It might be a friend. It might be our spouse. And we get to learn that we sacrifice what we have to give it away. Now, it might be a thing or of something that's nice to eat. It might be a sacrifice of our own life or even the day-to-day sacrifice that we give in doing something for our family. And taking care of our family can be a pretty big sacrifice sometime. Well, we know that our parents have given us love and discipline and sacrificed things in their life for the sake of a child. Now, that's a value, and we are so thankful to have that kind of love that has been given to us. We get to seek understanding about what our values are and then practice our values. It's a matter of the decisions that we make and the consequences from them that show, well, value and love. Often enough, we get into a little bit of trouble when we try to figure out the effects of our decision. And often enough, we don't really know what they are at the time. But the consequences come about whether we know them or not. But we do choose to live with a certain morality. And as we look in our life and the life of other people, we understand that the values and the morality in our Bible have the best results. And so we choose to live according to Bible principles. And we get to be pleased with the results. That's a matter of history. And I am a history guy. And you look at what has happened in history, you know that people are pleased to have biblical values, and it shows that people have a happier long-term life. So, biblical values are here to stay. So we recognize the love that is in the biblical values, and we recognize that God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us as a blood sacrifice on the cross, so that we could have a chance to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and be born again, repent of our sin, and spend eternity with God, with Jesus, in that heavenly place. Hurrah! Yes. And it is a little too bad when we see all the divisions that there are today among different people, and even among different Christians. There are divisions all over the place. And we find that there are some Christian people who believe that you have to do something to be saved or to be a member of a church. And maybe that's true, but to be a member of the church. But God gives his salvation freely, without a cost, actually. We can't pay for it. It is so great. This is a part of grace. And nowadays, there are people who even say that the grace principles are, well, they don't like them. They think we have to do something to earn our salvation. Well, the grace people would say the unpardonable sin is to not accept Jesus. So it's very interesting when you have the different factions of Christianity with the different views. I've even heard the people, they would say that they are hyper-grace people, or I've heard them called super-gracers. Well, I guess you better look into that Bible for yourself and see what God says. It is worthwhile to study your Bible and to really understand what God says, because really that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter what you or I say or what a church or a religion says. No, what matters is what God says. And he tells us in his word, the Bible. So I hope you study the Bible and that you have your personal relation with Jesus. That would mean becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. And why, you might think, why would a person do that? Well, you get a quality of life that is really desirable, and you get an afterlife with Jesus, which is the best. It's just the best. I know there's a lot of people who find different reasons to accept Jesus, and some of them are just real sinners, and I've met a few of them. They used to be really big sinners. And then they find out the truth, and they turn from their sinful ways, and they become a follower of Jesus Christ. And they are saved by Jesus, who died as a sacrificial lamb for the sin of the world. But we get to accept that sacrifice, and then we get to become a part of Jesus and the heavenly kingdom. Now, all these things are laid out in the Bible. We can understand them. We can read about them. It's kind of the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The themes are the same, but it is said in a different way in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And every person understands one part of the truth better than the other. But I just find that it is all the same truth spoken about in a different way. It is interesting to me, though, to hear how one person will speak about Jesus and salvation, and another person will say something different. Even a pastor. One pastor will say one thing and another pastor the other. Quite similar, but there are differences, and we get to discern it, and we discern the things the best when we know the Bible knowledge ourselves. Because I hear of one pastor might look at the Old Testament, the things that happened in the Old Testament. It might be David and Goliath. It might be, well, any of the things. And they will like to speak to people about that. And another person or preacher might speak on the New Testament. For instance, the book of John or the book of Matthew or the book of Romans. Or, well, sometime I like the book of Galatians, too. That's one that I think has a lot in it to pay attention to. And I like chapters 2 and 3. Well, I like many of the books of the Bible. And I say, pray and ask God to direct you as to how you would study God's Word, the Bible. And then you develop that personal relation with God, Jesus. And you blossom We all blossom in when we read the Holy Word of God. And it's a good book to read, full of so many things. Lord, thank you for your Bible. Thank you for showing us and teaching us. Oh, and giving us pastors and Bible teachers. They help too. But it really is for us to discern when we pray and read the Holy Word of God and then put that into our thinking and live it. Live it. Live that love of God. And as I was saying, we do give our love to other people. Sometimes it's slow, like when we raise a child or when we have a spouse in our life, and we give to that other person moment by moment, day by day. And sometimes when we feel that love of Christ in us, we have a time when we give our life in a moment, similar to what a firefighter or a soldier or a policeman may have done, to give their life all at one time. It is giving our life, just as Jesus did. As I said, it could be moment by moment as we show our love for somebody in our family or somebody who we love, or it could be all at one time. Just as Jesus gave his life a little bit at a time, and he gave it all at once with some very intense suffering. When I think of what Jesus gave, I think of how Jesus gave his life. But Jesus knew from the beginning that he was going to be that sacrifice for sin. So he knew in advance what was going to happen to him, because as God, he has all knowledge. And he knew he was going to be beaten and flogged and have his hair pulled out, and then he would be nailed to a cross, when he would feel his blood drip right out of his body and death would come. So I think of that supreme sacrifice of Jesus when he knew what was going to happen to him as just a great big, oh, what a something to go through and to do. Jesus did it for us. Jesus did nothing to deserve the penalty that he got. So, we have a lot of thankfulness to have for Jesus, especially when we look at the reality of his suffering. But a part of what we do is we do give thanks to God, God Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, full of love, teaching us about the concept of love, teaching us about the concept of sacrifice, and I mean self-sacrifice, when we give up something that we like to give it to a person who we will show our love for. Often enough, we have that experience with our own parents or as parents. We give up something of value so that we can give something of value. Sure, it can be just something small like an ice cream to a child. It can be something bigger like a ring to our spouse. It can be even bigger than that as we live day to day and we sacrifice the moments of the day for the people who we love. It's all something that we can relate to. And as we dwell on what God did for us, our understanding increases and our gratitude increases. Then as we look in life and we find the values that we have to consider blessings and the wonderful life that we live, it's wonderful. It brings joy, and we are thankful all the more for God Jesus Christ. Oh, I think about the consequences sometimes and the promises of love and caring. Well, I think about those too. From time to time, I hear somebody talk about Jeremiah 29:11, It briefly says that I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts for peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you will call on me and I will listen. Well, what a lot of wonderful promise that verse holds of our relationship with God. That's a lot of love and compassion. But I do think about the other parts of the Bible, or even a little bit further in Jeremiah chapter 29, where it talks about the warnings that God gives us. God warns us not to do disgraceful things like lying or adultery, and that we ought to not do evil, or evil will befall us. So there is the two parts, and it is good for us to know the love, but also know that if we turn from God, we will have consequences. Things will happen. Another verse that's a little bit like that of warning is Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 13. And it goes something like, if there is persistent unfaithfulness, then there will be famine and sickness and violence, and it might even be a military invasion in your land. So we have the love of God, and we have the warnings that if we turn from God, what will happen? So I know these things that the Bible tells me, and I look around in the world around us, and I say, oh, what are we doing? Well, you can look at it in a historical perspective to say, oh, we've had hundreds or even thousands of years of all sorts of ungodly things and actions. And then I look at the last 10 or 20 years, and I say, oh, yes, we have had all sorts of ungodly thoughts and actions. So what are we going to bring upon ourselves according to the Bible? Well, you look, as I said, in the last 10 or 20 months, and you see what has gone on in our country. See, those verses remind us that God will bring famine on the land, or that famine will come upon the land from natural consequences. And in those last, let's say, 20 months, there have been 100 food processing facilities that have been destroyed in the United States. So do you want to tell me that it's God doing it, or do you want to tell me that it's evil doing it, or do you want to tell me that it's simple consequences of the laws of the world that are bringing the things that are talked about, famine and sickness and violence and military invasion? See, these things are going to happen because it's a natural consequence. A natural consequence of what we do. So what are we going to do? Are we going to follow the biblical requirements and needs? What are we going to do? We have a choice. Always we have choices. And it goes to the point of what are you and I going to do? Are we going to follow the principles of the Bible? And are we going to have the peace that is promised? Or are we going to have the trouble that is also, well, it's foretold if we reject God or if we take the actions a certain way. We have a choice. Are we going to do the disgraceful things that God says don't do? Well, we have been doing them individually and as a country, so we have consequences coming. Are we going to turn from our wicked ways and become followers of Jesus Christ, who will live according to the standards of the Bible? What are we going to do? Well, our thoughts and actions will determine what will happen in the future. And I just talked about that, Ezekiel 14:13. And after that, it's the verses after that that describe it also, about famine, sickness, violence, military invasion. All those things don't sound so good. And so many times we think that, oh, it cannot happen to the United States of America because we're so big and powerful. And after all, we are a Christian nation, right? Well, better look at that pretty close and figure out what just might be going on. I think that 100 food processing facilities that were destroyed in the United States is a pretty good indicator. I think the empty grain silos that are all over the country are another indicator. See, there are many silos across the United States in the farm country, but oh, they're practically empty. Most of them, only a few of them have grain in them. And that's what I'm told anyway. So we have something going on with the food and with what could be famine, but it seems like we just don't want to believe that it could ever happen to the United States. Other countries know that, and they produce their food, and they also are having problem. I mean, the floods that are going on, like in Afghanistan, that produces so much rice for the rest of the world. There's war in Ukraine that has wheat and beans and legumes and all sorts of things. Russia is not sending their wheat to other countries now. We have a situation in the world where there would be food shortages very easily, just very easily to come about. When you think of China having, well, about 65% of the world's available stockpile of rice, of wheat, and of corn, where's the rest of it? Nobody else is stockpiling it like China is. And I just wonder, if the United States were to have a famine, do you think China would send their wheat and rice and corn to the United States? Even allow the United States to buy it? It's not likely. In fact, they seem to say it won't happen. Well, that means, what do you and I do if there is a famine? And we have the signs of it. There are signs of drought in the United States. Why, just last week, there was a report that the wheat fields in Kansas were being left to die because there was not enough water to irrigate or sprinkle the wheat fields. So Kansas, in a normal year, produces just under 20% of the U.S. supply of wheat. But now farmers in Kansas are leaving their wheat fields to die because there's not enough water. China is having a water shortage and leaving its fields to die because they don't have enough water. Afghanistan is having floods. The wheat and the rice in their fields are causing their crops to die because they have too much water. So, there's things that are indicating a famine is coming. When you look at the individual places that are having troubles, you know that a famine is very possible. In fact, you can almost predict it. You just don't know the specifics of it. You can't say where it'll happen or what the actual effect will be. But you can see the conditions are indicating famine. And famine often brings sickness or a pestilence or a violence. And all these things certainly could come to America as well. So let's have our own storehouse of just the basic grains that last and last and last. I say fill some 55-gallon drums with grain. Oh, yes, and treat them right. In other words, put what may be an oxygen absorber, maybe diatomaceous earth, maybe something. Add something to that wheat to preserve it so that you have something in your own storehouse, in your own home, so that if there is a shortage of the basic grains, wheat, rice, corn, and whatever else it would be, that you will have something to eat. You know, hungry people often resort to violence to get the food that they need. And violence has been predicted by quite a few people. Some of them just understand banking and money and say that the things that are going on with the United States are going to bring shortages, a collapse, and even violence. So there's the people who have a worldly point of view who are saying that, and there are some of the I will call them prophetic people who are saying such things. I think I'll talk about that next week, though. That's a bigger subject. But what I'm saying is that we all have a chance to get food and supplies right now. And it is our responsibility to do that for the people who we are taking care of, our family, our loved ones. It is not the responsibility of the government. It is not the responsibility of the Red Cross. It is not the responsibility of the church to feed people. It is your job, and you get to see how to do it. Different for everyone, yes. But if you have nothing, even to feed your own self or your own family, how are you going to get food? Even if it's a bowl of rice, how are you going to get it if we have shortages throughout the world? Well, I just said the government, the Red Cross, and the church. You know, these are three entities that do not have any extra food. They do not have a storehouse full of grain. They do give things away, but every bit of food that they give away, they have to buy it first. They have to buy it from a food distribution location. And the food distribution locations are getting short of food. They're not having enough. So you might not be able to get the food that you need from a store or a warehouse. That's what's going on right now. It's going on in this country, and it's going on in the world. So maybe you, as the responsible person in your family, can think about having long-term food for yourself and the people around you. You know, your loved ones or people around you. Have some grains. Grains are the easiest thing to store. And that's what I hope you look into. Having some extra food and supplies. Now, everybody has their own idea of what extra is and what food and supplies to store. That's something we get told about a lot, and there's plenty of lists available for what you ought to have in the way of food and supplies. The trouble is if that you don't understand and agree with the list, you're not going to have those extra foods and extra supplies because you don't agree with the list. So I would suggest that everyone get their own list. Yeah, it's not easy. It takes a little work to do. But it's better to do a little work and to get the food supplies while you can than it is to think about what would happen if you and the people you loved could not buy food. So think about that. And I think there's lots of complications that we can bring into it, like who owns the food? Who owns the farms? That's another one. You know that in the United States, there has been a kind of a controversy about who owns the farmland. Now, you probably have heard that, I think Bill Gates has been in the news. He owns, 380,000 acres? Jeff Bezos owns more than that. And China, through the state-associated people, own more than that. So, but there's lots of people who own the United States farmland. Canada owns more than China. And there are other countries that own U.S. farmland as well. Italy does. Italy does. Germany does. France does. Denmark and Ireland, they all own farmland in the United States. So if these people or countries are recognizing the value of having land to farm, maybe you should think about having some supplies of food. I mean grains, whatever it is. Just, again, it is up to you to determine what it is that you would understand your needs will be. And you also understand what your ability to buy food or supplies is. So it all has to be balanced out. You weigh out what you can afford, when you can afford it, what you can do, and then you do it. Get some food, get some supplies. As there have always been factors that have come into, humans living. And there's nothing like food that keeps you alive. You know, whether it's a bowl of wheat or a flour to put into bread or rice or some meat or whatever it is. Now, again, this is something every one of us has to decide what we are going to do. And if you're thinking you have enough cans in your cupboard, I can assure you that you don't. Canned food goes very fast, and often enough, we will even give it away because we think we want something else, whatever it is that we have or want. It's always something different. Do we have too much string beans, too much beans, too much yams, too much whatever it is? Well, that's why I say write it down, have a plan, and get what you think you ought to have. Because there have always been factors that have brought about shortages of food. Yes, famines. I think of volcanoes when I think of famines, because volcanoes have always been a factor in changing the life of people on Earth. And right now, there's a couple of them going off. Well, Kilauea was going off in Hawaii. That turned out not to be a major thing, but I believe it stopped now. But it's something that got so many people's attention because it was in Hawaii. Nevertheless, there are still a dozen or so volcanoes that are erupting in the world. Now, a lot of people are thinking about the one that is right at Mexico City, Popocatépetl. And the residents of Mexico City have been warned that they may have to immediately evacuate Mexico City. So there's volcanoes that really have been and continue to be a threat to our food supply. In 1883, there was Krakatoa that had the eruption that was heard halfway around the world. And just locally, it killed 34,000 people. And let's see, again, a little bit before that, there was Mount Tambora that erupted, and it created dust and pollutants in the air, you know, volcanic ash, and it caused the Earth's temperature to cool. An example of that cooling came the following year in 1816, where a lot of places around the world snowed where it had not snowed before. On the east coast of the United States, it snowed in the middle of summer. And in London, if they left a glass of water out in July, it would freeze. Now, that's very unusual for a place right next to the ocean to happen. And in a way, England is right next to the ocean. So there's these things that have gone on in history, and because they have gone on before, we know they can happen again. And sure, the eruption killed people. Like I just said, the Krakatoa killed 36,000 people, and Mount Tambora killed 80,000 people. That's what the historians say. And we have things going on right now. I just used the example of the Mexico City volcano. And there's a lot of concern about Yellowstone being a super volcano. Any of these things could certainly cause famine as the crops fail around the world, from the ash being blown into the air and circulating around the earth, stopping the sun from reaching the earth, and making the earth cold and wet so the crops will not grow. And if they do grow a little bit, they might only have 25% of the crop yield. So these things, like I said, they happened before, they can happen again. And preparedness is always a good idea. What can you do to prepare? Can you put something away? And if you have a couple of gallons of wheat or something, yes, that will last you a little while. But you might also want a couple of 55-gallon drums of wheat. What would that be? Something over 200 pounds of a grain. And so we all have this little exercise that we have to do to understand what our values are, what our pocketbook will allow, and what our desires say we would like to have happen. But let's recognize that there really is a danger. And I just talked about Ezekiel and Jeremiah to say there's a certain principle there that said that if you don't follow a godly path, things that you don't want to have happen are going to happen. And yeah, that includes famine. That includes violence, disease, even military invasion. So those are things that if they happened, well, they've happened in history, even to those strong, let's call them countries, that couldn't be defeated, according to them, in their day. Well, we have the same mentality Nothing will happen here in the United States because we are strong and we are powerful and we are followers of Christ. Well, let's really follow Christ. Let's have a real look and see what it takes to follow Christ. Well, there are possibilities of these things happening. I don't mean that it's going to be a sure thing that it will happen. A volcanic eruption might be a 5% possibility. Well, you look at what the possibilities are that you are thinking about. And if you think there is a 10% chance of a disruption to our food supply or something else happening, then consider putting 10% of your either income or other resources into preparing for that kind of a trouble. If you think there's a 20% chance of something happening in the next year or a couple years, then put 20% of what you have available into your plan for the just in case. And if it's only a 5% chance, then yes, just put 5% of your resources or the extra resources. You have some work to figure out what you can do and what you will plan to do. It's something you all get to figure. Every one of us gets to figure because we have troubles in life, or we look around and we see other people that have had troubles in life around us or in life in history. And we say, I don't want that to happen. That's pretty bad. I think that I should get prepared so that if something bad happens, it won't hurt me too bad and it won't kill my family. Okay, so that takes a little thought, a little time, a little planning, and then you have to carry it out. It's not the easiest thing to do, but that's what we do when we see a threat. We figure it out. I'm thinking of Benjamin Franklin, who said, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. So that's a piece of wisdom from Benjamin Franklin. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. So just consider all these different things and put some ideas together so that you can move forward with something that you would like to plan. And then do it. Yeah. Well, it is normal that we prepare for some things and not others. I mean, just think of how normal and natural that is. How many people have an insurance policy? How many people have insured their car or their home or their health or anything? Yes, we do put money aside so that we will have the resources to get through a time of difficulty. And that will include the difficulty that we are looking at right now. Sure, famine, pestilence, or war, all these things, or earthquakes. Yeah, all of them. So, but it is up to each one of us to figure what to do. And if we say it will never happen to me, it'll never happen to the USA, just think back a couple of years and what has happened. We've had dog food shortages. We've had plywood and lumber prices jump way up. We have had the toilet paper shortage. We have had things happen even in this country that is so blessed. So let us look at what is going on around us and evaluate. If it means anything, when both Russia and China have threatened to attack the mainland United States, or even to have nuclear bombs go off there and have a war with the United States, all these things have been talked about. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? We have a situation that is not wholesome. And if you look at the lack of morality in the country, it's shocking. We used to be able to have our let's call them law enforcement. Well, I mean, think of FBI, the Department of Justice, the National Intelligence. all the agencies used to have more integrity than they do now. There have been lies coming out of all of those agencies. Really serious things that should never have happened, but they did. That means if you see the decay and corruption of morality in our country, it means that we are getting closer and closer to decay. And, well, deal with that as you see fit. But it means that preparation is more important than ever before. I think about the places in the Bible where it tells about, let's say the consequences, whatever they are, famine, disease, military or violence, all of it. And there are groups and people that are expecting that even in our own country. So let's see, I just talked about that. And there are people who say, well, that discussion is discussing Jerusalem. But I would say that it's a theme, it's a principle. And if you believe it, then it will apply in more than one area. So that I hope you look and you see what could happen and take a few steps. Sure, call it insurance. I think of 2 Timothy 3:4, right in there, where it describes, let's just say the men in the society loving pleasure rather than loving God. And, you know, it doesn't turn out well for the people with that mindset. It turns out that, I think of the other places in the Bible where it tells us what to do, how it tells us to turn from your ways, that is to repent and be born again, John 3:3. And I think of Revelation chapter 21 about how it says these cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murdering people that have sexual immorality are their idolaters and liars, that they will have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. We know what's going to go on. It's as sure as something in the Bible, because it is in the Bible. And we get to decide what part we're going to have in the goodness of God or the evil of mankind, which also means the evil one. We have a choice. We can do something about it. We can accept Jesus and have our sins forgiven. Or we can turn to a life where we are seeking to please ourselves. I think it's ever so important to be born again, to be saved from hellfire. And it helps us to read the Bible and to have an understanding of what is said by God to us. What is God telling us to do? And it's pretty clear. It's in Scripture. Have you read it? Would you read it? Would you seek to understand what God is trying to tell you? Don't be confused by listening to a person tell you. Get it from God. And God tells you in Scripture, which is the Bible. If I told you that you could go to heaven and not hell, all you have to do is read these couple of hundred pages, would you do it? Well, that's about what the same equivalent is of reading the Bible. It's a few hundred pages. Now, maybe you would even find it a good idea to read several times. And you can do that. It doesn't take long. When you think about all the time you have in life and all the time that every one of us has wasted, think about how long it would take to read 100, 200, 300 pages. That's the size of a small book. And we have done that plenty of times. Isn't that worth understanding and knowing God, Jesus? Yes, I think it is. So that's what I urge you to do, to look at the Bible, understand it, and then live according to the Bible. Well, you decide, but at least get the information. Get the information that is right there in the Bible, and then seek what you ought to do. Do you want the goodness of Jesus, or do you want the ways of the world? It's something which I hope you have enough thought and thinking and understanding to make a choice. So choose and get some information so that you can have a good choice. Whatever that choice is, you choose, every one of us chooses. Well, there's things that we do choose in life, and I hope that you do it with a knowledgeable decision. And that means seek understanding. And in this case, it means read some of the holy words. Now, we can go to church and get that. We can hear what a pastor has to say. Pastors are good. People of God are good. But I think I'd rather hear the direct word from God himself, and that is in the Bible. Now, you can always listen to any past broadcast of Christ Today. Go to www.christtoday.org, and then you look for, well, let's see, it says John Stephenson, and you can touch any date that you want and listen to that broadcast. I also invite you to write me if you'd like to have a prayer need put on my prayer list, because I have found how important prayer is, and so I want to pray for people, you who are listening, yes, and or if there is a specific godly prayer request that you have, yes, write me, John Stephenson at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Oh, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And listen again to any broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. Thank you for listening. Oh, and always thank you for any contributions you have to help this broadcast to be continuing. God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Color me with your